Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tabreed's first quarter 2019 earnings conference call. Today's speakers are Bader Said Al-Lamki, CEO, Steve Ridlington, CFO, and Richard Rose, VP Finance. I will now hand you over to Niswa Jamal Al-Sarkal. Please go ahead.
Hello and welcome. This is Saad Jamal Al-Sarkal, Vice President of Strategic Communications at Tabreed. On behalf of Tabreed management team, I would like to welcome you all and thank you for joining us for the first quarter 2019 results conference call. Before we begin our presentation, I would like to remind you that some of the statements made in today's conference call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. Kindly refer to slide 2 of the presentations for the detailed disclaimer. I would now request you to turn to slide 3 for today's agenda. On today's call, we have with us Bader Al-Lamki, our new Chief Executive Officer, Steve Ridlington, our Chief Financial Officer, and Richard Rose, Vice President of Finance. Steve will first provide an overview of the first quarter 2019 performance and key events. Following that, Richard will discuss the financial performance in more detail. Steve will then conclude the presentation, and we will open the line for your questions. Before we begin the presentation, I would like to hand over to Bader for a few opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you, Bader.
Thank you, Saad. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today. This is the first time I'm speaking to you all. As you are aware, I've joined Tabreed as the CEO recently. Prior to joining Tabreed, I've spent nearly two decades, nearly 20 years, more than 20 years in the energy sector, transitioning from working with the national oil company ADNOC here, and my most recent job was with Masdar, where I've led the renewable energy portfolio and supported Masdar grow that portfolio to nearly 4 gigawatt across the globe and across nearly 25 countries. Let me start by saying I'm very proud and excited to be taking this new position, and it's certainly an exciting challenge that I look forward to contribute in growing this business. I'm joining a high-performing company that has posted consistently a strong results in recent years. These results for the first quarter represent a continuation of that trend, and soon we'll hear the details from the team, from Steve and his team, Together with the rest of the management team and all the staff at Tabreed, I look forward to driving shareholders' value through growth in our core GCC markets and selectively pursuing opportunities outside the GCC. I look forward to interacting with you all in the near future. I would like to pass now the microphone to Steve to walk us through the first quarter financial results.
Thank you, Bader. And thank you, everybody, for joining us today. Welcome to the first quarter results call. As always, we'll begin with the highlights for the first quarter on slide 5. The key points are revenues for the first quarter grew by 8.1% year-on-year. That was led by a 6.7% increase in the chilled water revenues and a 31% increase in value chain business revenues. During the same period, EBITDA growth was 14.5%, and as a result, our EBITDA margins expanded from 54% in the first quarter of 2018 to 57% in the first quarter of 2019. Net income growth during quarter one was 2.9%, mainly due to lower share results of joint ventures and associates, offsetting growth in chilled water. Connected capacity additions during the first quarter were 3,000 RTs, all attributable to consolidated entities. Despite the limited capacity additions in the first quarter, we remain confident of achieving our target of delivering 65,000 tonnes of new capacity over 2019 and 2020. As you are aware, during the first quarter, we signed our first concession agreement in India, provide 20,000 tonnes of cooling capacity at the new capital city, Amaravati. This is a significant step for Tabreed to penetrate into one of the world's biggest and fastest growing markets. We will of course keep you posted on all the developments with our first India project. Turning to slide 6, you'll be familiar with this, Tabreed at a glance. This provides the usual overview of the company. Reed is contributing to the region's growth through efficient and environmentally friendly cooling, enabling sustainable development. As our business grows, so does our positive environmental footprint. We currently operate 74 plants across the region, delivering over 1.1 million refrigerated tons of cooling. Our operations saved around 2 billion kilowatt hours of energy consumption in 2018, enough to power 112,000 homes for a year, and equivalent to reducing about 1 million tons of CO2 emissions. Moving on to the next slide. Tabreez is the only public traded and regional district cooling company in the world. The UAE is our base of operations, where we have a presence in six Emirates, providing 776,000 tons of cooling to our customers through 63 plants. In addition to the UAE, we work with key strategic partners in four other GCC countries. We have a total of 11 plants outside of the UAE, providing over 358,000 tons of cooling to customers. Around two-thirds of our capacity is consolidated, while the rest is equity accounted in associates and joint ventures. Moving on to slide 8, the usual summary of connected capacity. This shows the capacity growth trends across the region. At the beginning of 2019, we announced that we expected to add at least 65,000 tons of new connected capacity during 2019 and 2020. During the first quarter of 2019, we added 3,000 refrigerated tons, all in our consolidated entities in the UAE. We expect the majority of capacity addition this year to occur during the second half of 2019, so the second quarter of 2019 may also show limited capacity additions. However, we remain confident of achieving our guidance of 65,000 tons by 2020. Tabreez continues to demonstrate its ability to deliver a steady increase in connected capacity in the region, driven by the growth in our key markets across the GCC, and by successfully leveraging our regional network to take advantage of commercial opportunities as and when they present themselves. Moving on to the next slide, headline performance, slide number 9. This recaps the evolution of our performance over the years. To summarise, Tabreez is a stable utility infrastructure business with long-term contracts with high-profile customers. This provides us clear visibility of future earnings and cash flow. We currently have 90% of our capacity contracted for at least the next 10 years. About 70% of our revenues are derived from fully government-owned and partly government-owned organisations, thereby limiting counterparty risks. Tabreez has a track record of delivering profitable growth. Net income and EBITDA have increased by 8% and 11% per year, respectively, since 2016. Our first concession agreement in India is a significant step towards penetrating one of the world's biggest and fastest-growing markets. I'll now hand over to Richard to talk about our financial results in more detail.
Thank you, Steve. Let me start by highlighting the key points on our income statement for Q1 2019. Tabreez recorded overall revenue growth of 8.1%, with chilled water revenue increasing by 6.7%. The main factors driving chilled water revenue growth were the acquisition and consolidation of S&T in Q1 2018, which accounted for 4% of the growth, and CPI indexation on our capacity revenues, which added about 2%. Revenues for the value chain businesses increased by 31%. Tabreez share results from associates and JVs declined by 6 million, or 28.7%, on prior year, mainly due to a number of factors: a 2 million dirham reduction from Saudi Tabreez, reflecting our 5% dilution of Tabreez share of the entity and lower one-off development income; the impact of IFRS 16, which reduced the contribution from Catacool by 1 million dirhams; and the impact of S&T moving from JV treatment to full consolidation, which also impacted by about 1 million dirhams. The increase in finance cost was due to the implementation of IFRS 16, which I'll discuss in more detail shortly. EBITDA margins were higher due to the implementation again of IFRS 16, which I'll discuss further on a forthcoming slide. The next slide shows the statement of financial position. Significant movements in fixed assets, equity and reserves and debt at the 31st of March were largely due to IFRS 16. Other highlights were the receivables, which decreased compared to December 2018, reflecting better cash collection. And compared to March 2018, outstanding receivables were down 2%. And movement in other liabilities was due to the dividend payable, which was subsequently paid on the 2nd of April 2019. Turning to the next slide, we'll now take a look at the statement of cash flow. Debris continues to generate strong cash flows, which are being utilised to invest in growth and provide dividend returns to our shareholders. Operating cash flow was strong at 238 million dirhams, an increase of 39% compared to Q1 2018, reflecting higher profitability and an improved working capital position. There was very little capital expenditure during Q1 2019. Total debt service payments in Q1 2019 were similar to the same period last year. Our cash generating ability remains robust, driven by long-term price certain contracts continuing to enable investment in growth. Let me now turn to the slide on the impact of IFRS 16 adoption on Tabreed's financials. As you're aware, the new accounting standard on leases, IFRS 16, was effective from January 2019 and is applicable to both operating as well as finance leases. Let me take a moment to highlight the key points on how this new standard impacts our results for Q1 2019. Operating lease assets were previously not capitalized, and lease payments by Tabreed were recorded as part of operating expenses. IFRS 16 now requires these right-of-use assets to be capitalized, along with a corresponding lease liability. This results in an increase in fixed assets of 223 million dirhams and an increase in lease liabilities of 308 million dirhams. Within the income statement, lease payments are replaced with depreciation and finance charges relating to the lease liability. There's no change in the cash outflow for the group, however. For Tabreed, this results in a reclassification of operating expenses of 11.8 million dirhams into depreciation of 6.9 million and finance costs of 4.2 million. It is important to note that this reclassification of expenses increased reported EBITDA, as lease payments were above the EBITDA line, but depreciation and finance costs are below. This change has increased the Q1 29 EBITDA margin by 3%. Excluding the impact of IFRS 16, our EBITDA margin for Q1 2019 would have been in line with Q1 2018. For finance leases, IFRS 16 requires the inclusion of contractual CPI, which increases the finance lease receivable and has a minimal impact on the income statement. We'll now look at the debt portfolio on the next slide. This slide provides the usual background of Tabreed's debt portfolio as of March 2019. Key points to note are that Tabreed has 3 billion of gross debt and a gearing ratio of 41%. However, it's important to note that IFRS 16 has increased reported debt by 300 million and net debt to EBITDA by 0.4 times. Excluding the impact of IFRS 16, both net debt and net debt to EBITDA are lower than the prior year. Following the refinancing of our corporate debt with the 7-year Sukuk and new corporate loans, we have relatively light scheduled repayments until 2025 when the Sukuk becomes due. Net debt and net debt to EBITDA have declined since 2016, and debt has been repaid and EBITDA has grown. Our return on capital employed and return on equity has also improved since 2016 due to rising profitability. That completes the detailed review of the Q1 2019 results, and I'll now pass back to Steve to conclude.
Thank you, Richard. Before we open the lines for Q&A, let me make a few closing comments. As a stable utility business model, Tabreed continues to develop strong financial and operating performance with rising profitability, stable margins, and robust cash flows. While we've had a slow start to the year, we are confident of achieving our capacity guidance targets for 2019 and 2020. Reed has a flexible capital structure to fund future growth. As we have mentioned before, we will look at opportunities within and beyond the GCC and will provide you with updates as and when such opportunities materialise. In line with this strategy, we announced our entry into India, one of the biggest and fastest growing markets. Today, Reed is stronger than before, ever before. We have a stronger shareholder base and a management team with significant industry experience. We are working on various fronts from business development to operations to help drive growth and improve profitability.
Thank you for joining us for our Q1 2019 earnings call. We will now take any questions you may have.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding until we have our first question. We have a question from Mikhail Saeed from CI Capital. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I have a couple of questions. The first one regarding the revenues. The 8% growth we witnessed in 1Q19. We want to understand how much out of the 8% is due to the increase in CPI, and what should we expect in going forward as the SMT acquisitions have been completed in 1Q18. So I understand that part of the 8% is the SMT, but going forward, this should be normalized, so it will be left with the additional capacity we will be expecting. If I understand well, we are waiting for like an addition of 20 to 23,000 tons of RTs till the end of 2019. So how should this be reflected on the growth on the top line for the next three quarters? And the next one, my next question will be regarding the EBITDA. Can you just give us more light on the impact of the IFRS 16 when it comes to the EBITDA level? That's all from my side.
Hi, this is Richard. Thanks for the question. With regard to, I didn't catch all of your questions, but I can answer a couple of them very quickly. So with regard to the revenue, 2% of the increase in revenue is due to CPI indexation, and 4% of the increase in revenue is due to the impact of consolidation of S&T Cool. The guidance that we give of 65,000 RTs over the next 2 years. So clearly, we've added just under 3,000 in Q1. As Steve said, we see some increases in capacity coming in the second half of the year. We don't anticipate a great amount in Q2 itself, but you will see some in the second half of the year, and then we will deliver the 65,000 over the 2 years as we've guided. With regard to the EBITDA, the impact of IFRS 16 on EBITDA is really as you see in the financials. So the EBITDA would be in line with the same quarter of last year if we didn't have the impact of IFRS 16. So it's having about a 3% increase in EBITDA.
EBITDA margin,
so,
yeah.
So just to understand, so you'll be having the same EBITDA margin when comparing to 1Q18, however, you'll be still having like 12% increase on the EBITDA on absolute figure.
Yeah, that's about right. So the margin is basically, look at it as the same as Q1 2018, but obviously an increase in the absolute level of EBITDA, as you suggested.
Yeah, okay, perfect. So the 65,000, it's not like our, and it's not half and half, 2019, 2020. We could have less than 20,000 RTs coming 2019?
Yeah, I get the question. Normally say we're not giving a profile for the 65,000 tons in terms of quarterly and annual figures. That's very difficult to do because the specific timing is hard to see. So we commit to 65,000 over the 2 years. That which we are expecting this year will be more second half of the year. So I think all we're guiding you towards at the moment is that the second quarter may not be too strong, but in terms of actual RTs in the 2 years, we don't give that information.
Yeah, okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Vishal Bhagwan from Abu Dhabi Capital Group. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for this opportunity. I had a question on the receivables. Given that we have seen 98 million worth of reduction in our receivables, could you give us some color in terms of which were the key accounts from where we saw better collection, and what kind of trends do we expect for the remainder of 2019?
Well, I think the first thing to say about 2019 first quarter is that we've had pretty strong collections across the board, and that's really been a feature for some time now. In terms of the specifics, we don't give details of specific customers, but what I can tell you is that one of our largest customers, there was a timing delay in collections in the first quarter of 2018 that didn't reoccur in 2019. It was all paid in accordance with contract. So there was just one customer for which that year-on-year comparison makes that look a little better because they were a little bit late last year, but all in order now. And I think, we can't predict the rest of the year, but what I can tell you is that, as we always say, I mean, it's key for us to collect money from our customers. We're providing a critical service. They understand that, we understand that, and I think the results that you've seen in the last year or two demonstrate a strong collections record. So we'll work to make sure that continues.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to remind you, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. Our next question comes from Rakesh Tripathi from Franklin Templeton. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi team. Thank you very much for the call and the presentation. I had a question around the new project that you've announced in India. So what is the kind of capex that can be expected for this project, and what's the timeline that we are looking at over which this is likely to be done, and when would this capacity come on board?
Okay, thanks for the question. So just to recap, we signed a concession for 20,000 tons of cooling with the capital city, Amaravati. We announced at the time that the first stage of the project is for 5,000 tons, which is due to come online in 2021. So it's outside our capacity guidance period. As I said, the first stage is 5,000 tons. We're going to be building a plant for 5,000 tons and a network for 20. The capital cost of that is yet to be finalized, but it will be in line with the guidance that we usually give for capex per ton. So I think if you use the figures that we quote, which are in the 7,000 to 10,000 dirhams a ton, you can get a reasonable understanding of what the cost will be. As I say, the project is in early stages. The early stage preparatory work is ongoing. It's going well. We're on track. But we haven't yet finalized all of the details, and therefore we can't be quite clear on those at this point in time.
Okay, yes. So, and I'm assuming the kind of payments that you receive, that's also in the finalization process. I mean, I understand you can't give numbers naturally, but will it be more in line with the general per RT amount that you make on other typical projects?
If you're talking about the payments, you mean revenues we're going to receive from the
Yes.
from the customer? Yeah, I mean, it's exactly the same kind of contract structure that we always employ, in terms of capacity payments and consumption payments. Very similar type of structure and very similar type of payments, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Ambreen Jirani from Ajeej Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the call. I'd like to know what the plans. I believe there's a new CEO now, and if you could share any information on how, you know, what would be the strategy to take the company forward, and if there's any change in strategy that we should be hoping for.
Thanks, Ambreen, for the question. No change in strategy. I think our strategy has been very clear for some time now. I mean, we're very focused on our district cooling business. We know the markets that we want to operate in. We're active in five markets today, through a series of wholly owned and joint venture companies that we're quite happy with. So you can expect us to continue to focus on the five GCC markets we're in today. At the time of the ENGIE acquisition of shares in Tabreed, we announced that we would look beyond the GCC, but on a very selective basis. We said we would look at Egypt. We are looking at Egypt. We continue to look at Egypt. We're active in India, as you already know, and that is definitely a business we want to build going forward. And we will add potentially other markets in the region if we see the right type of opportunities. But the right type of opportunities means the type of opportunities that we're doing here in our existing markets. So focus on district cooling, ownership of plants, long-term offtake contracts, exactly the same structure that you see today, and with an increasing focus on growth. I think I would say that we want to grow the company more rapidly, and we're all working hard towards that. And, you know, as Bader said in his introductory remarks, it's going to be a key focus. It will continue to be a key focus. That's all a very long way of saying no change in strategy, really.
Sure. So the growth will be confined to district cooling, and you guys are not looking to get into other areas in the same energy space, where
well,
you could grow?
Well, I mean, yeah. So, sorry, yes. Well, I mean, we do operate in other areas of cooling. We're quite active in secondary side management of buildings. So, we will potentially look at expanding more in those areas. But, you know, in terms of the material areas that we're going to be growing in, I think it's going to be focused on district cooling. I think we'll always be a cooling company. And we will look at opportunities if they make sense to us. But as I say, I think the focus will be district cooling.
Great. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have a question from Yaver Saeed from Shore Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. Thank you for the call. I just want to know about the negative balances in other comprehensive income of $2, $3, and $7 million, which were like $12 million and $8 million positive same quarter last year, which has led to a significant drop in total comprehensive income from $100 to $70 million. Can you shed some light on it?
I mean, there have been some shift of joint ventures into the consolidation line, which will describe part of that, but to be honest, I don't have those details with me. I think we'll take that offline if you don't mind. Please just give us a call back after the call.
Okay, sure.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Vishal Bhagwan from Abu Dhabi Capital Group. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for taking my question. So I had two questions. Firstly, what are the contracts that are coming up for renewal over the next two years, 2019 and 2020? And do you see any risk in terms of pricing of these contracts?
Did you say two questions? Was that the first, or is that both?
That's the first one.
Okay. And the second question?
Second question, I basically wanted to understand the trends and your views on how do you see the consumption volume growth and occupancy of your existing clients' portfolio. Do you see an improvement that is happening in for these clients?
Okay. Well, first of all, in terms of the contracts maturing over the next 2 years, that's a very simple question. There aren't any. So we have nothing that's maturing over 2019 and 2020. I think we've included in our corporate presentations on the website a profile of contract maturities, and essentially over 90% of what we have today we will still have in 10 years' time. So there's a high degree of stickiness, if you like, in that. And of course, one of our key objectives is to make sure that contracts don't mature at all. So we will always be out looking to extend contract terms with customers well before they come to maturity. In terms of consumption volumes, they're running overall a little bit above last year. So we're not seeing any major shift in consumption volumes so far this year. The weather was a little cooler in February, March, but that had a pretty insignificant effect. It's also worth remembering that that our business is relatively immune to consumption volumes because most of our EBITDA margin comes from our capacity charge, as you probably know. Over 85% of our EBITDA comes from capacity charge. A fairly similar picture to last year.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you for holding. We have no further questions for the moment. Ms. Suat Jamal Al-Farkal, back to you for the conclusion.
So now this concludes our Q1 2019 earnings call. Tabreed looks forward to interacting with you at our earnings conference calls and investor conferences. Should you have any further questions, please do not hesitate to contact us. Have a great day and thank you once again for joining this call.
Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.